Welcome back to the TV Talk Machine. I am Jason Snell, and across the internet from me, your host, chief TV critic, The Hollywood Reporter. He's stuffed with turkey. It's Tim Goodman. Hi, Tim.
I can barely speak. I'm bloated.
Know. We are bloated and full of turkey and cranberry sauce and some other stuff. Because in America, it's the day after Thanksgiving here in America. Everywhere it's Black Friday, apparently, because we ruined the earth with
We did ruin that, which is what we always do. Americans, that's what we do.
Yeah.
We ruin the world.
I guess Black Friday is now released simultaneously worldwide, too. Sorry, everybody.
Kind of like a plague. From America.
But we are here to brighten your Black Friday with some TV talk.
Until the L-tryptophan kicks in
That's
and
right.
we fall asleep.
We may sleep at some point. It could happen. It could happen. Hey, we're getting... So now it's the holidays, officially, the holidays.
It's not slowing down on the TV side, my friend. Very, very little time to exhale.
Yes.
But go ahead.
So end of year coming up then. That means a few things. It means that you may need, as promised last week, you're going to have to do a list. You're going to have to construct at least one sort of power rankings that is your best of the year.
Yes. A whole year, 2015, of no power rankings, and then coming in with, and, you know, though we haven't really figured out quite how we're going to do it. Dan Feinberg, who we hired, who's excellent, is going to do a list. I'm going to do a list, but... You know, I'm very specific in my wants and desires. And in the past, what THR has done is like, okay, so you made a list of best comedies, and then you made a list of best dramas, and last year you made a list of best broadcast shows because they're in a different playing field. How about you somehow merge those all together for 10? Because, you know, everybody wants 10. It's a space issue. So who knows what's going to happen in the magazine? But I will tell you that there will be a very lengthy list, and as we know, in this time of times of confusion and also too much TV / peak TV, there will be quite a few shows to list. It's going to be a lot. Let's put that.
But you and Dan are going to create your own lists and let them fight it out.
Yes, we are not merging them. We're not having him take like comedy and I do drama or anything like that. We're doing separate lists.
I love that. So I've been an Entertainment Weekly subscriber for, you know, a decade or more now, and I always liked how in their year end issue they would have their anything that they had multiple critics for. So like TV sometimes and movies always, they would have the opposing critics list, and they'd have things in common, and they'd have things ranked higher or lower, and they'd have things like back in the Halcyon days of Siskel and Ebert, the same thing. They'd count down their top 10, and it would always be interesting to compare how critic A and critic B felt, and some things don't even get mentioned and some things are way higher, and I always thought that was fascinating. So I think that'll be kind of fun to compare what you think and what Dan thinks.
And I think that there will be pretty distinct differences, no doubt about it. I mean, part of it being that you could see that last week, actually 2 weeks ago, when Dan and I did the Amazon pilots.
You were at odds.
Yeah, we were at odds on a couple of ones, but in agreement that it was generally a weak field. But on at least one show in specific, we were very much at odds. And then another one, we were at odds. So there you have it. It should be a very different list.
Yeah, no, that should be fun. But you got to – how much – is that a challenge to write that, or is that a pretty easy kind of thing to put together?
You know, I think it's a challenge. I tend not to flip-flop too much, but I do because certain publications have already, you know, pretty much you get asked to do a top 10 list for other publications, and their deadlines are often earlier than THR's. And so I think there's been 3 years running where some of those top 10s don't add up when I get to do mine because I've changed my mind by then, which is fine because people don't really care. I mean, I always look at it as a cocktail napkin in a bar, and you're writing down your favorite 10 favorite songs. But I take it seriously. I take it very, very seriously. I actually wrote a column one time about why I take it seriously, because if you really don't like a lot of things, and if you're this is what you do for a living, you better damn well take it seriously and like make sure that you put some thought into it. It wasn't just willy-nilly. And so, you know, I don't want to leave stuff off that's deserving. That's why I don't do the top 10 list. It's redonkulous in this current... it was redonkulous in 2010 when I started to do a top 10 list. In 2015...
It's malpractice.
You know, 400 scripted series. it's insane. It's insanity to say that you could narrow you can't even narrow the dramas down to 10, so much less comedy and drama. So, yeah, I take it seriously, and it's fun. It's kind of a drain, though, because once you put everything in the list, things are different, right? I mean, there's things that are super serious, and then there's other things that are slight. And I mean, like, for example, just real quickly, and we can talk about stuff like that. But, like, and by the way, Transparent will be coming out at the end of 2015. It'll fall in December, so it'll be eligible in the calendar year. But we, as critics, I just got it. But like my point is, how do you compare Transparent, which is a comedy, or it's in the comedy category, is the 30, I consider it as a drama or dramedy. But how do you do that with like Master of None? You know, different things, right? So. You have to weight them in different ways. But yeah, to answer your question, I put some thought into it.
All right.
Sure.
We'll link to your piece about why you make the lists and why they're long in the show notes. People can check that out. Another thing that happens this time of year is the holiday stuff comes out. And I was just kind of curious, do you have any favorite like holiday TV stuff that you liked as a kid or that you like to see now? Or is it all just sort of not something you care about?
Oh, I've been accused of not caring about a lot of things. You know, like Halloween, not a big thing for me. Valentine's Day.
Last week you were talking about the Grinch and smiling while you brush your teeth.
Yeah. No, holidays are great. I mean, Christmas is my favorite. I go all in, not only on the shows, but music, but here we are talking about visual stuff. So, the Grinch, Charlie Brown, Town Without a Christmas, all those things. There's so many Rankin Bass things.
Yeah. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And
oh yeah,
Frosty
Rudolph,
Snowman.
Classic. Certainly above Frosty. But there's other Rankin Bass, and there's ones that they didn't even do that are also animated that are amazing. And I don't think I've done it in several years. I'll probably redo that list of my favorite ones. Yeah, Charlie Brown Christmas is like still my favorite, and the Grinch is still a favorite, and I love them. I can watch those. I have them all on. I would never watch them on TV because of the commercials, but I have them all on DVD, and I watch them many, many times over. And A Christmas Story, right? You must love that.
Yeah, that's a good one. I didn't see that before, like 5 years ago. And all, but that's a lot of fun. Elf is a nice modern
Elf is
classic.
Good. And can I tell you about, there's a little, you may not have heard about this one, there's a little movie that has Jimmy Stewart in it.
Huh.
And an angel gets his wings.
Anatomy of a Murder.
Well, now that you, it's very similar to Anatomy of a Murder. There is death in it.
Okay. Yeah.
And there is attempted murder in some ways, you can think. That is maybe my favorite movie of all
time.
And people don't think that I have a heart, Jason.
I don't know what's wrong with them.
How could that be like a favorite movie of mine? It's so sappy. They're dancing and the pool is coming apart.
It's got some darkness in it, that one.
Yeah, it does. My favorite. Well, I will admit, okay, this is the kind of dark. I every year I laugh, but he's like, when he gets drunk, why do we have all these kids? I love that. In this ratty old house. I love it.
Hey, last year we did for our Thanksgiving episode, we pointed out the turkeys of the fall season.
Oh,
you have any thoughts about that? Like, what floats to your mind when you think about this basically completed fall TV rollout? What's your big turkey or two? Do you have something that you're like, oh man, that was a disaster?
Oh sure, I mean Minority Report.
Yeah,
that's got to be terrible,
gobble.
Right? I mean, there's been so many bad ones. I mean, Minority Report for sure. Those are like the big failures. I guess Scream Queens would kind of fall as a big failure as well. Let's see here. I'm trying to think. It's funny because we kind of go and we bury them, right? We bury them all before they. Before they are dead, because this year, I mean, like we've talked about before, this year is the year of people saying we're cutting your order,
right,
instead of saying you're canceled, and that's because there's nothing left and the model's broken, So, yeah, that's kind of scary.
Do you make a worst of the year list too, or do you keep it positive?
You know, I don't. I keep it pretty positive. I mean, there are the ones that are hits, like Blind Spot and Quantico, are still shows I don't like. Mm. I think it's almost overkill at some point. I think I did it one year where I said, you know, I said, hey, these are the worst shows in the whole world, and you should not watch them. But at that point, I think it's kind of overkill. Bastard Executioner, I kind of liked, but is a show that's already canceled. Yeah. I think Best Night Ever with Neil Patrick Harris, right? Wouldn't you have to consider that as maybe one of Fall's big failures?
Yeah.
Blood and Oil, probably with Don Johnson as a. But did anybody really think that was going to be good anyway? So that's kind of hard to. That's kind of hard to say whether you think that's a failure. Code Black, another terrible hospital drama. Last week we talked about the Dick Wolf Chicago trilogy. Mm. You know, those are bad. But then again, when we talk about bad shows, Jason, sometimes bad shows that are quantifiably terrible end up being minor hits, like Dr. Ken. You know, critics couldn't kill that. You know, I didn't review that, but critics could not kill that. I think that shows that don't have ratings, like Netflix shows or Amazon shows, can also be considered kind of failures. Like I would say Hand of God on Amazon was a failure, and no one's talking about it. Heroes Reborn.
Oh yeah. Oh man.
Right? Would that qualify as bad, like a failure? I don't know. There's a lot of them out there. That's the scary. Yeah. That's the scary thing.
But when one door closes, another door opens. Speaking of failures, your good friend John Mulaney, who was definitely on the turkey list last year.
Oh my God! Yeah,
has a new. He's got a new comedy special that is getting good reviews, and I had that, and it's called something like The Comeback Kid.
Yes.
I thought you know, anybody who remembers Mulaney. Mm-hmm. Hard to.
Ooh, The Player. I just remembered The Player.
Oh, The Player. Uh-huh. I still am waiting for Tim Robbins to show up and stick it to those Hollywood people. Hasn't happened.
Oh my God. I'm not making a list of failures.
We made fun of Mulaney in episode one of this new TV,
right?
It was early. It was a classic original.
Yeah, and then we started calling it, and Dan Feinberg as well, the Mulaney line. It's kind of like the Mendoza line in baseball. If you can't get over the Mulaney line,
then forget it.
Truth be told, also terrible turkey on NBC. God, that show was bad. Woo! See, I've said this before. I'm like a cornerback in the NFL. I forget. I just forget them all.
Yeah, you gotta let it go.
I had to go be prompt. Oh, and let's not forget our first cancellation of 2015. Do you remember what show that was?
No.
The First Death. It wasn't Bastard Executioner. The first official cancellation.
No.
Wicked City.
Oh yeah, the awful misogynist retro. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Boo.
The 80s LA with a lot of really bad
violence against women stuff.
Terrible. Yeah, so that was the first one.
Hey, let's make this positive. I hear tell that you may be returning to SF Sketchfest to interview some interesting people.
Oh, look at you. Yep. Yes, I am. I'm coming back to I made my debut 10 years too late or later than I wanted to. They're like, really? You wanted to go? Yeah, I did. I always wanted to do Sketchfest. I did it last year when I interviewed the entire Veep cast. And so now this year I'll be doing most of the cast for Bob's Burgers. Yay!
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean it's great. The creators cast, so it'll H. John Benjamin will probably not be there, but he's either going to Skype in or he's going to do a recorded bit, and he's of course one of my favorites. I wish he was there. He's one of my favorites, but he also does great work in on Aziz Ansari's show. But yeah, it's going to be fun, and the Sketch Fest is that thing's amazing.
Yeah, that's cool, and that's a great show, and the voices, the actors is such a huge part of that.
Oh yeah, it's so good. And it's funny because my daughter is a huge, and my son too, are huge fans of the show, so they're going to be excited when I tell them, I'll be interviewing those guys.
That's pretty awesome. And that's indeed. In January, right?
That is in, yes,
tickets available now, I believe.
They are on sale. Yes, they now. So as of the 22nd, so a few days ago.
So there's not a lot going on because it's Thanksgiving week. I think, you know, Nat Geo has something, and the Women's Entertainment Channel has something. You want to give us an update on the two things that are kind of kicking around out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's I don't know why I'm laughing. It's just bad. I think every time I say Women's Entertainment Channel,
It's the Wii channel.
Yeah. Oh my god! And I have done. They really need a rebrand. I said Wii brand. Oh my god! It's sunk in my brain. I've done. I only laugh because I've written so many bad things about them. Their publicists must see me. And I mean, I know past publicists have like, oh, just don't even come. Don't come to our session. You're gonna hate it. But I'll get to those guys in a minute. But first, Saints and Strangers, which was right. That was on. It's past, but it was on
Nat Geo,
and it's not bad. You can still watch it. It'll be out there. You'll find it. But the thing that people should know about that show is that it's got Vincent Kartheiser, who was on Mad Men, as mm-hmm. we all know. Not great, Bob. I was hoping that the show would be not great, and we could say that in the headline. But it's actually not bad. I didn't review it. I saw about a 20-minute trailer at the TCA. And it's basically a look at the Mayflower landing and the first Thanksgiving.
Perfectly timed.
And you know what? It's one of those things where it's like pretty good. It's pretty good. But I don't want – and I think you might back me up here. I don't want National Geographic doing scripted material. Mm. Not necessary. So I would like to call them and say, hey, Nat Geo, can I give you a little tip here? Don't. Just don't.
Just don't do it.
Do something about nature. Do something about different cultures, perhaps, geographically around the globe. I would love a non-scripted series about that. Don't give me a scripted series. No. Not having it. And the other one.
Wee.
the other one. And let me just tell you. Let me present you a scenario, and you tell me the first thing that comes to your mind. The series is called South of Hell, which is like kind of a bad title, right? Mina Suvari stars in it, mm-hmm. And it's a horror series from Eli Roth, who's a horror specialist who also had a horror series on Netflix that people are stunned that was still on the air for 3 seasons. So Mina Suvari stars, they've made a horror series, and it ended up, they pitched it around town, and it ended up on Women's Entertainment.
Sure.
I think maybe you swing and a miss there, maybe. It's not known for their horror, and not known for really anything. They have some decent stuff, but like not this isn't their genre. But let me tell you what they're going to do, and you tell me what comes to mind. There are 7 episodes, Jason, and we is going to air them on the 27th. Yes.
We are going to air them.
Nope. See, get it? See, you're playing with the title again. Maybe they shouldn't We brand. Maybe they're perfectly happy with We. They're going to run all 7 episodes consecutively.
Isn't that a burn-off?
That's called a burn-off.
Are they calling it a binge watch? Because it sounds like a burn-off to me.
Yeah, I don't think people binge on regular television. I think they binge when they can stream it. But no, binging is, I think that's called just, we don't want this on our air anymore. We don't want the rest of these 6 hours taking up any blocks of our time. And I don't know. I think if you put the money in and you make a series, it must have been co-sponsored by somebody. You usually want to have it come out every week so that you can build up an audience and you can sell advertising, perhaps. You can't tell me that they sold 7 hours worth of advertising in a row because no account executive would say, wait, so you want to put our ad in the 4th hour of this horror thing that you're running in a row? Sorry. Yeah, this is – I don't know what's going on with that, but I think the short version of that is don't watch it.
Okay.
That's it.
Good review. Want to do some letters?
Let's do some letters, but can I say something that's kind of funny?
Oh, yeah. Please.
We will not remember to do this, or at least I will not, but if we were vicious people, we probably would. We should check the ratings to see what does better. The first hour of South of Hell on Wii, or a reality special coming up on ID called Momsters.
Just to see.
Ready? Momsters. Colon, when moms go bad.
Ah.
Oh, my God. That's a title.
You got to have a colon in the title. That makes everything better.
Momsters, when moms go bad. I'm losing my mind. Okay, let's move on.
Or are they just the hamsters that are mothers? I don't really know. I have some Agent X updates from listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, our good friends. No podcast is promoting Agent X. Agent X podcast? That one might promote it more than us, but that's it. So I've got from the excellently named Jason in the 864.
Ooh, that's a mouthful.
That's South Carolina.
Oh, so is that Canada?
South Carolina, not Canada.
All right.
Jason from the 864 says, hello, Tim, and hello to your handsomely named co-host, whom I suspect reads these emails.
Oh, very good. Uh-huh.
See, they're catching on. They're catching on.
They know who to go to.
They have listened.
They found the weak link.
I took your advice and watched the first hour of Agent X. Despite such exciting scenes as Agent X randomly taps a keyboard while watching exposition about Sharon Stone's vice president and the surprise appearance of James Earl Jones as the Chief Justice, the show didn't quite lift up to my so bad it's good expectations, which brings me to the other TNT spy show, Legends. Sean Bean stars as the FBI's most proficient deep cover spy, a man who has assumed so many false identities he's begun to forget who he really is. Overall, Legends is pretty basic by the numbers show, though it apparently did well enough for the network to bring it back for a second season. So I ask you, is Legends a thing?
Here's the thing about Legends. I didn't review it in its original season, and I wanted to review it in its second season because it rebooted itself. Now, see, I wish I was somebody who watched every episode of the first season, and I could be an expert, Legends expert, and say, yeah, you know what? It would have been a better show if it was this, and now it's that show. You should watch it. But unfortunately, it's already started its season, and it's not doing well. So Sean Bean, I don't know. It's not happening. But does it help if I say that I'm intrigued enough to, even though I didn't get a chance to watch, it's only in the second or third season, or third show now, I'm intrigued to go back and start watching it. It might be too late because they might cancel it, but I saw the previews and I thought, you know what? Why not? I like Sean Bean. I'll check that out.
All right. We'll find out if it's a thing.
Oh, yeah. Right now, we don't know.
We don't know.
Thing unknown.
Okay. Unknown thing.
Unconfirmed.
This is from Hunter in the 603.
Not Hunter Pence, but a Hunter. Okay.
The 603 is New Hampshire.
Ah, apparently. Yes. Uh-huh.
Our good friends in New Hampshire. Hunter in the 60th.
Mm-hmm.
Says, finally got around to watching the premiere of Agent X, and it was everything you said and more. I admire what the makers of the show are doing. It really is escapist fun, something I often enjoy, and I may just try out the drinking game for the next episode when I watch that one. We're selling alcohol here. My only real quibble is the same one that anybody who knows a particular city in a movie or TV show has when it's featured. That moment when your mind says, but that's the wrong direction, or those two locations are too far away. Shows in the 202 really have this problem for a lot of people who've lived there. And it's even worse if you happen to work for an architectural historian at some point in your career. Thus, you simply know way too much to let stuff slide. Get ready. I used to work in the Jefferson Building of the Library of Congress. You know, the pretty one they showed John strolling through in the middle of the night headed to his secret lair. Never mind that it was built between 1890 and 1897 and doesn't have those sub-basements. Not a thing, but you knew that already. No, the part that makes me cackle was the Lyndon Johnson mentioned, because the official vice president residence at the Naval Observatory wasn't established as such until 1974, and Walter Mondale was actually the first vice president to move in 1977. Oops. Prior to that time, the vice president was on his own for living accommodations, and since the 1920s, most had resided at the Wardman Park Hotel in Woodley Park, where many government officials lived. Oh, and that house at Observatory Circle was completed in 1893, if you're wondering. So the patriotic colonial masons who supposedly built those tunnels underneath were long dead by then. Damn you, actual history! Was it being implied that the lairs were connected somehow, despite the miles of separation and huge topographic impediments between them? Oh, and the idea of a new Russian embassy building being constructed highly highly unlikely to ever be a thing, as anyone who's lived in the neighborhood with a vast compound that is the Russian consulate knows. But hey, this is not the first time too much knowledge got in the way of me mindlessly enjoying a plot. Sorry to be an annoying picker of these nits. I don't think he's that sorry. But avoidable stuff like these things makes me want to come up with my own drinking game. Now I'm off to check out some things on the dark web. Later, I'll update my universal backdoor software that I keep on a flash drive. And if I have time after that, I need to enhance a torso or two. Keep up the great work on the podcast, guys. Hunter in the 603.
Wow. Okay. Hunter, well done. So yeah. Tell me again, what was the topic? I laughed so hard about topographical impediments.
Well, it sounds like
you can't get from one place to the other.
Yeah, they're not connected. They're miles apart. They weren't built at the right times. And the vice president has only actually lived in the Naval Observatory since the 70s. All interesting points. And I hope our good friend William Blake Heron, creator of HNX, is out there cackling to himself.
if William Blake Heron, if you're out there, I got another show for you, my friend. And it involves the vice president of the United States. What in the world? We were letting like the vice president live in like a hotel?
Yeah.
What? Where a lot of other government officials live, the security probably is not that great.
I like so, how
the vice president is like lives in an apartment.
In your imagination, William Blake Heron is going to make a career specialty of shows about vice presidents.
Yes, absolutely he is.
Yeah, this could be like a comedy, like the vice president down the hall and they live in the hotel.
He's saying, no, Tim, I am not. I'm never looking back on this again when I'm through this.
Nope.
But isn't that kind of crazy that the vice president was like, hey, buddy, you're on your own. You are the second most powerful man in the United States.
Rent a hotel suite, please.
Yeah.
grab
an Airbnb, will you? Yeah.
So that was a nice crossover letter because that was an Agent X letter and a Not a Thing letter. We did ask listeners a few weeks ago to send in things they were expert on that are not a thing.
Okay.
And we got a few of those.
Oh, good. I'm excited.
So from Sam on Twitter, we get dark web is a thing, but only in the context of an emoji being the word of the year, which is not a thing. And it's true. The Oxford Dictionary word of the year is an emoji. It is the tears of joy emoji face. But one of the other words or phrases that they said was a finalist for word of the year was dark web. So there you go.
Wow.
It's on
dark web was almost a thing.
Almost a thing. Sadly, it's not a thing.
Wow. The dark web is basically used by the dark army. Right?
And the army of darkness, which I think are zombies from Ash versus Evil Dead.
Right. So it's a lot of clicks going on there.
It all connects. Mm-hmm. Megan, formerly of the bitterly cold 701 and now in the much warmer 402. We've heard from her before.
Yes.
I think that she is our Fargo naysayer because Fargo isn't like that. North Dakota isn't like that.
North Dakota, not like that.
But she's now in the Nebraska, which is warmer. Megan says, my biggest not a thing pet peeve isn't related to my profession, but to the weather. All I can think of is never-ending frostbite when I watch characters who are supposed to be in cold climates on TV. Usually they're wearing a medium to lightweight jacket and maybe a cute hat and lightweight gloves. These will not keep you warm in the winter. The worst is when they have a snowball fight with their bare hands. TV people seem to forget that snow is basically little chunks of ice. Imagine dipping your fingers in an ice bath to scoop up ice and then molding it into a ball. It hurts, and your fingers start to lose function after like one or two snowballs. Also, loading your snowball with big ice chunks is a good way to kill someone. Wishing for a warm winter this year, Megan in the much warmer 402.
Wow. We are our listeners are nothing if not precise and exact about their realism.
Yeah. TV weather. Come on.
What cute hats. That got me. That slayed me.
Cute hats and lightweight gloves.
Cute hat. And then I was kind of lost until we talked about frozen fingers.
Yeah, it's a blizzard, but you got the cute hat on.
Yeah, I'm a California guy, so I just figure everything's fine.
Yeah.
Everything's
We
don't know.
Thank you, Megan. Megan is our cold weather correspondent, Megan. Thank you.
Senior cold weather correspondent.
That's it. That's it. Just look at the way Hobo Eric is dressed. There's no way Hobo Eric could survive in those conditions.
No, not at all.
He's just wearing that cute hat. Hobo hat. We've got Daniel.
Okay, because I've lost my mind. Okay.
Daniel writes in, good morning, gents. On the topic of not a thing, my background is mostly in live theater. Well, that and retail. So it's seldom that's the theater life.
You know who's laughing right now?
David J. Lohr is laughing right now.
David J. Lohr is dying. Yep. That killed him. He slayed him.
Theater jokes. Yeah. So it's seldom that my engagement is broke is broken by a play in a show that's anywhere near as stupid as the flash drive of convenience. TV folks tend to have enough experience with theater to get the important details right. If anything, the only aspect of theater and TV and movies that's really not a thing is how important they believe community or high school theater actually is. I love it dearly, but it's just a play. Daniel in the 919, formerly of the 914, always afraid of accidentally dialing the 911. Very nice.
I had never thought about that. That is a thing.
Danger.
Danger dialing.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's very close to the 911 area code. You don't want to call that area code.
We have learned so much today.
It is amazing. It's a little Black Friday education for everyone out there.
And the L-tryptophan is kicking in.
Yeah, I know. It's pulling us down, but we've got more. We've got a few more letters. Just a few more.
Okay.
This is from G. I don't know if there's another name for this letter.
G, like G, like the letter
G, like A. Martinez in Santa Barbara. Yeah.
Okay, G.
As referenced in a previous show.
Okay.
I'm trying to see if there's if G has an identity, but I'm not sure I can see one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, well, G, we'll go with it. New listener to the podcast these past few weeks and very much enjoying it here in the 818-310 realm.
So, we know where that is. Welcome, G.
Los Angeles, California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although I'm not sure I'd consider myself a professional mobile phone user, I am a Mac and iPhone consultant. Oh, this is Gary. This is listener Gary.
Oh, okay. All right.
He just signed a G because he's cool
because
like
he's
that.
Cool. Yeah.
I still think I'm qualified to make this observation. When people in shows make calls from cell phones, audio post needlessly adds in touch tone sound effects, even though that one button touch to dial is a silent process. You know, boop, 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 boop. Don't the Foley guys also use smartphones? Shouldn't they know better? I'm going to add to this that we watch people using iPhones, obviously using iPhones, and yet every time that they answer the phone, they, you know, you see their fingers tap at the screen to answer it. There's a bing that happens. That's the pressing the button to answer the phone. Not a thing. Your iPhone doesn't bing when you press answer. It just answers the freaking phone. That's all it does.
Yeah, as one should, one does.
Why would it have those sound effects? And the touch tones only happen if you like go in and want to generate them for.
Yes.
But you don't press go and it goes boop, 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 boop. It's not a flip phone from 1987.
Right. Stupid. But we know what this problem is, right? Didn't we get at this the other day? Like two podcasts ago?
Yeah.
That Foley people are greedy.
Yeah, they want more sounds.
Yeah, more sounds. They're sound hoes.
Yeah.
They really are.
They really are. It's a shame. But Gary's right. That's
now our
totally
next letter is going to be from a Foley guy.
Man.
Who I just called a whore.
Yeah, well, you know.
Sound hoe.
You know what the Foley guy is going to say? The Foley guy is going to write in and say, we know, but the producers are like, oh, put some beeps and boops in there.
Yeah. That's true.
They're like,
actually,
all right, fine.
That's true. Actually.
But it doesn't make no sense. Listeners think there'll be something wrong with the phone if it doesn't beep when they touch it.
Yeah, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah. They can't. The Foley guy wants to fix the oral inaccuracy, but he can't because the user has more power.
As television has taught us so many times, Tim, we're the real monsters here.
We are. So many times.
Okay. We got Dean still from the 707.
Nice. I feel just a little bit of wine on post Thanksgiving.
I'm going to buy a box of wine with that that sweet Agent X expense account. Dean, still from the 707, working on the shows to watch as my wife and I visit churches and bars in every state. Remember, they're taking the tour.
Love it. The greatest tour ever.
I realize that, of course, we must watch Deadwood in South Dakota. After all, the show has bars and in the first season, a clergyman, if not a church. Thinking about it made me want to watch the pilot, and I ended up going through the whole first season. I'd forgotten Garrett Dillahunt played Jack McCall, history spoilers, the man who shot Wild Bill Hickok. There's your history spoiler. I just remembered him as the lady killer later in the series. It was a little strange to see a modern series use one actor to play different characters. In old TV, this used to be done all the time. Victor French would play a different farmer or mountain man in every season of Gunsmoke. Good Victor French knowledge.
Wow.
And Ed Asner could rotate between bad guys and cops on the Mod Squad.
Wow.
Interesting IMDb factoid. Eve Plum, Jan Brady, played little girls under three different names on The Big Valley. But modern TV is more careful about such things. Besides Rachel Dratch playing everyone on 30 Rock, can you think of other modern shows that use actors in different roles?
On the same series.
That's the tryptophan.
Yeah, that's the... That's the catch right there. I think the world
with is too much TV. Like, the world is so big now, and the number of actors who are available and all of that, that I think you don't see this so much, right? Although I've seen it in sci-fi stuff where they will find an actor they like and they feel like they can get away with it because they put them in a different set of makeup. If they're like, you're a great alien, now we're going to make you a human, or we're going to make you a different kind of alien. That happens, but it's a lot harder you don't have to go back to the same well because you've got lots of actors you can cast.
I would posit that maybe if this was going to happen, it was going to happen more in Canadian productions.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. And, honestly, British TV, they don't reuse actors so much inside a season or inside a series, but across different series, you cannot. I mean, there aren't that many English actors.
There's six actors in England.
We've seen, I counted. They're in all the shows, yeah.
I counted. There's six. Three men, three women.
Yeah, they're in everything.
Mm-hmm. And they are in everything.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's
one of those six is David Tennant.
It is. And he's moonlighting doing Jessica Jones. What is wrong with him? Get back to England. They need you. They're down to five now.
That's okay. When he was gone, they just cut the orders from six to three.
Three episode seasons. They do that. Okay, here we go. It's Laurent. He's from the 514. He is from Montreal.
Yes.
But from via Saskatchewan, so Laurent. Okay.
Laurent.
He probably poses as... I have a friend named Guy who lives in Montreal, and I keep thinking, is he really Guy, or is that just for us, and he's actually Guy?
Guy.
But he's not. He's Guy.
This is Laurent rather than...
Laurent? Sorry. We're Americans and therefore awful. Anyway, this is what he says. Binging on Hannibal... And I'm currently nearing the end of season two. While I'm not unhappy that it's finished after three seasons, too many shows go on for too long. So I know it will have a finality to it. Do you think that it being shown on network TV is what killed the show? I am constantly shocked that the show was on NBC. And I'm thinking that if it had been on Showtime or HBO or some other cable network, it might have been allowed to continue for a bit longer. The scenery, the mood, the acting, the goriness, everything about the show screams cable network. What do you think? Thanks, Lauren.
That's a possibility, but you got to also like turn that question on its head and say, look, it got a lot of time on NBC. I mean, they stuck with it when there was no ratings to it. So it can't really complain about its existence. But yes, the central point that Lauren's making about that, you look at it and you think this is a cable show. I thought that all the time too. I mean, it's just so, I mean, it's lovingly shot. It's beautifully shot. But just the level of violence and the pacing of it also. I will say, though, that I'm on record as saying I was not a fan of the series as far as – I was a fan of what it accomplished qualitatively, but I didn't enjoy watching it. And now, because we live in too much TV, not enjoying watching something means I won't watch it. But I did revisit it. And when I did revisit it, I was always a little frustrated at the storylines. They did seem very network TV to me. Things got a little bit crazy, but I'm sure I'm in the minority on that. I'm in the minority and not liking it as something that I want to watch. So there's that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Mm-hmm. Well, that's our letters for now. But we can always get more if the listeners will send them out. That you can tweet them at TVTM. Jay Snell on Twitter. Tim is Bastard Machine on Twitter. You can send them, you can post messages on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/TV Talk Machine. And you can email us podcast@TVTalkMachine.com.
And I think we should say, Jason.
Yes.
That this is not like the one-off we only wanted to have at one time. I think if people are still experts in their field.
Yes.
We still want those.
We got Not a Thing Watch.
Mm-hmm.
We got Agent X Update.
Yes, for now.
This is all still going on.
Yes.
I feel like there's another segment that we're starting to create out on the dark web, but I can't remember what it is now.
Oh, there is probably dark web tech stuff that's just
probably
darker web.
Yeah.
But yes, if you are an expert in something or you just things bother you,
Cop Not a Cop is the other one.
Oh, Cop
Not
a Cop.
That's our other key new segment on the show. So there's Not a Thing, Cop Not a Cop, and Agent X.
Right.
It's just a show, but it's a thing now.
Right. And the Not a Thing is a pretty big category. But I do like if you're an expert and you're annoyed at that it how it's predicted in your it's shown in your series. That's one thing.
Yeah.
Because journalism, they're terrible. It's Yay. So poorly, you know. What was that series where they didn't even have any – no one had any computers? That was awesome. I'm like, yeah, okay. We just think it and it prints.
Yep.
Awesome.
That's totally how it works. Well, every time I watch The Flash, I get that moment of like yes. the way they – and we've talked about this Flash, Supergirl. Mm-hmm. They all have this wonderful view of newspapers as
– print journalism.
As places with new furniture and young, bright-eyed employees and spacious areas to work and not dying.
Yes, exactly.
None of those are true. But
they mistook us for the tech industry.
Yeah, exactly. Well, wouldn't that be something?
Wouldn't
but
it?
Alas, it is not the case. It's not a thing. All right, go back to your turkey.
I'm already asleep. It's really kicking in. It's kicking in.
All right, and thanks to everybody out there for listening. We will see you next week.